On the line is our next guest here on the Brandon Lowe Show, Coalfields & Company. Coalfields.org is the website. Sports, coal, and pepperoni rolls. I like that slogan. He is Troy Lilly. Troy, welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate you having me. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about the site. You and I partnered up last year with my podcast, and you guys have done some great stuff, man. You guys got like a fight card. You got awards each week. You do your own rankings. Kind of talk about how you started the site, what got the idea behind it, and who's all involved with it.
It's actually interesting because it started and it's evolved to a place where, you know, when we first, you know, initiated it, I didn't expect it to kind of end up where it is now. But the whole idea came was I just finished playing college football, and, I had a bit of a hole in my life where, you know, I was used to having, you know, some role on the football field. And there's always been a kind of talk that, you know, this was also like 4 years ago before social media kind of took off. There's a lot of other entities out there that cover West Virginia football specifically. And, you know, at the time it just seemed like a bit of a hole with some, you know, in-depth coverage, because I love the journalists around the state. They do a great job, but they also have to do other sports, and that's hard to help with recruiting and things like that. So it kind of became it started as kind of like a fun kind of blog, just covering players, to realizing that, you know, recruiters and college coaches were really looking for somebody to quantify and qualify athletes within the state. And so we kind of assumed that role to start doing player rankings in the off season. We put on a coaching clinic because I think you can build a kind of a network between, you know, the Eastern Panhandle, the Northern Panhandle, down to the Coalfields and Kanawha Valley. I think overall it just helps everyone involved. And, you know, we've got to a point now where our in-season coverage is fairly simple, because there's a lot of people doing in-season coverage, so we're not going to try to, you know, overdo it what everyone else is doing. So, yeah, you're right. We do our fight card, our weekly predictions for the biggest games. We do our own power rankings because, you know, the other people are obligated to do the SSAC rankings, which, of course, are the most objective way to look at the top teams, but also sometimes it doesn't paint the best picture of who we think are legitimately like the top teams in the state. But yeah, it's been awesome so far to see what it's evolved into. And, you know, like I said, I've had a great opportunity to partner with people like Your All Show and things like that. So it's been a blast.
Great stuff, man. Yeah, to go into the playoff rankings, I can't stand the point system with the SSAC. I mean, if you look at, you know, the rankings right now, Poca sitting last us all was 16 in Double A. We know Poca isn't the 16th best team in the state. They're a team that can win a state title this year. Fairmont Senior sitting in the middle of the pack, because of all the games and being canceled, postponed, playing other teams and other classes, points aren't there. I hate the point system. I just do. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a year to potentially experiment with another type of system, I do think this would be the year to do it, because the way the point system is set up with no minimum games, I believe, I could be correct. Sometimes I'm a bit outdated with what I know, because it seems like it weekly it changes. But the minimum, if there isn't a minimum for the amount of games you have to play to get in, I think it's rather low regardless. And you're kind of putting teams in positions to there's a lot of quote-unquote dodging going on out there. But it kind of makes sense, because if you're in the playoffs and, you know, you have the team you're about to play loses their game because of a COVID case, I mean, why would you potentially go knowing that you're completely outmatched and get yourself knocked out of the playoffs? And that's always been my biggest complaint about the current rating system, is that there's no leeway for strength of schedule, and I think that's a problem for two reasons, because you're going to have teams, you see it now, kind of design their schedules in like a lab to optimally have about the easiest road while still getting enough points to get a good seed to make the playoffs. And I think on the second negative is that it kind of robs us of some really interesting in-season matchups, because teams are kind of hesitant to schedule too heavy and schedule themselves out of the playoffs. I mean, you can look at Wheeling Central I think last year and then 2017, they barely, if they had lost one of those big time matchups that were close, they potentially might not have made the playoffs, and those two state champions. So, yeah, I agree. There needs to be some level of alteration to the schedule, and this would be the perfect year to do it, in my opinion, because it's kind of like a free year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, this year, and it's going to be, I was talking to Grant Traylor from the Herald Dispatch in the first hour, and we both agree that there's going to be a lot of upsets. I mean, there's just going to be quote-unquote upsets because, you know, those teams that normally are sitting at, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hosting a playoff game, at least one, you know, they're sitting at 10, like a Fairmont Senior. I keep using an example, but Fairmont Senior could beat anybody. And the fact that they're sitting in the middle of the pack tells me a lot about the point system. And I think it's a great point, you know, maybe kind of go with, and I don't know how you would do that. I guess you would do it based off records, just like you do in the NFL or college football, right? You got a committee together, and they go, okay, well, they beat this team and this team beat this team. I guess it would just take a lot of time. But it definitely would make the SSAC kind of earn their money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when this whole thing was kind of unraveling and everybody was really walking on eggshells trying to figure out how exactly the season was going to proceed, I think I saw several people, including myself, was like, potentially let's look into like what you just said, a committee voted playoff system, and perhaps put in some minimums where, like, you know, if your team's over like 85% wins, they're automatically in, so no teams that, you know, went 6-1 or something like that cannot get in. But I think, yeah, when you're going to have it, you're going to end up with, by week 10, when the playoffs are about to begin, you're going to have some teams that play 10 games, some teams that might have played 4 games, and it's going to be incredibly difficult for the SSAC rating to really reflect, you know, who should be in and who should be out. It would just be terrible, you know, like a travesty to see, like you said, somebody like a Poca or a Fairmont Senior miss the playoffs because they were the ones to step up to the plate to take on, you know, Cabell Midland and Musselman at a point's notice.
Yeah.
So I just hope, you know, I hope that something worked itself out, or at least that, you know, in some weird way that they just comes out how it should.
Speaking with Troy Lilly of Coalfields & Company, coalfields.org is the website to check out their content. You guys have a magazine and stuff, too, that you guys do. You do a bunch of stuff over there. Scouting database, you know, as I mentioned, awards each week, the fight card. Let's talk about your rankings. Let's just make it simple. Who is in your world, in your realm over there on the site, who is the best team in each class, in your opinion?
Well, we actually put out something yesterday that it really summarizes, you know, like kind of our thought process on like the caliber of teams, and we kind of built it in the power tiers. And so I kind of have it as, you know, each team, it just kind of came out this way that I think AAA, AA had 4 people that I saw as true contenders, and then Single A had 5. But Single A. It's much more wide open, in my opinion, than any other class. But in AAA, I think everyone can agree that Martinsburg, Spring Valley, Cabell Midland, and Musselman are they've all played each other, except for Cabell Midland. Cabell Midland is the only one that hasn't really played any of the other, you know, top contenders. But the fact that Spring Valley beat Martinsburg shows that they are capable. Martinsburg beat Musselman by 18 shows they're capable. Cabell Midland has beaten everybody they've been given so far, as we expect, and, you know, the returning MSAC champion. So I don't think it's out of the question that they're, and it's really terrible that them and Spring Valley couldn't play this week, because I think that would paint us a huge picture. I also have like a second little caliber underneath those teams where it's kind of like, I call it high ceiling, but I'm also not sure yet, because I think South Charleston falls in that category. They've been very dominant so far. They've blown out Capital and George Washington, two, you know, annual big teams in the MSAC. So I don't think it's – I think you could definitely make an argument that they'll be a title contender by the time we reach the playoffs. Hurricane has always been a program under Coach Taylor that they have crazy talent, well-coached. They always play the top teams incredibly tough. And that's what happened with Cabell Midland. They only – lost by a touchdown. Wheeling Park, not completely sure yet. You know, I'm not 100% sold on who they played. That's not their fault. But they do have an explosive offense. The quarterback question was answered with Bo Heller. So I like Wheeling Park. I think they potentially could get in the mix. And then, of course, you got Bridgeport, who, you know, year in and year out, that system prevails. Doesn't matter. The AA, AAA, they rise to the occasion. So far, they've been pretty well. The only game that kind of concerned me a bit was Parkersburg South. It seems like teams like John Marshall and Princeton handled really easily and blew out, and Bridgeport kind of gave up. I think it was like a little over 30 points. That concerns me because, you know, how would their defense fare against, you know, Martinsburg, Musselman, South Charleston with a bit more high potent offense?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Midland's going to really have a chance as long as things stay the way they should. Martinsburg is supposed to take on Midland on Halloween night. So we should have some sort of, you know, measuring stick, I guess, as far as a team coming that far up north down to down here. But, you know, I think Midland, Ryan and I, I'm sure you've heard on the podcast, we really do think Midland could win a state title. I mean, they're just that loaded, that good. And, you know, Spring Valley, you know, they beat Martinsburg, which is no feat. I mean, obviously, Martinsburg won 57, I guess it was, in a row. I'd lost count. But, you know, that was a good win for Spring Valley. Then they lay an egg against Fairmont Senior, which Fairmont Senior is a really good team. But, you know, it's just that type of year where you're just like, okay, things have been weird with practices, conditioning, scheduling, traveling, all that stuff's been weird. So that parity is always going to be there. So picking teams right now is just kind of weird. And you see Dodgers County, who looked like the best team in Class A, which I agree with you, is always wide open. But they look like they may have some special going on in Dodgers County. Now they're in red. They didn't play last week because they're in orange. So now Dodgers County is just kind of sitting there.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's hard to, you know, really expect or explain what can happen to a team if they sit out for 2 weeks or if they haven't had a game in, you know, for so long, what that does to the psyche of a team, what that does to the rhythm of a team, especially if they're in the red. That means they're just not even practicing while other teams are, you know, it's no mistake that teams get better throughout the season. You see a progression from game one to game 10. A good example would be George Washington last year. They, you know, they started off, they lost to South Charleston. And then by the end of the year, they had beaten some top teams. You really saw them come into their own. Now, if they would have lost three games midseason because they turned red, you know, would they have been able to, you know, finish the way they were supposed to? So that's, and I do think Class A, I think Dodgers at a severe disadvantage with that because Class A, obviously, more rural counties, they're about the only team that's really suffering from this. Other than Maine getting a late start to the season, it's going to be interesting to see how much that affects them because everyone else, and single A is basically playing at this point now.
Yeah. Before I get you off the line here, tell everybody where they can go as far as, you know, the website again, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, and kind of throw a couple of those things why they should visit your site.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've pretty much homogenized all our platforms to where if you want to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or just even just pop up on the site if you don't have social media. We post about the same thing. We don't try to keep it exclusive to build followerships in, you know, a specific realm or platform. But yeah, if you know, Twitter, you know, it's pretty, I think you just search at Coalfields Co. Instagram, I think it's at Coalfields and Co. I think they're relatively easy to pop up. And in Facebook, I think if you search Coalfields and Co., we're the only ones. Or I think there's actually like a jewelry store in like Oregon for some reason that's called Coalfields & Co. But yeah, you see the black pickaxe. Yeah, that's us. And, you know, we post, we try to post about every other day and just keep everybody updated. A lot of in-season coverage and then off-season, of course, big recruiting time.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, man. Appreciate the partnership with the podcast. It's been a pleasure, and you guys do a tremendous job. I got to keep bringing you back on the show so we can talk some high school football and all that good stuff. So keep up the great work, man. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate having me on.